welcome back to another episode of Rhythm at Rome. I am one of your hosts, Benef, and I also have my friends Paul and Trisha. And we like to talk about encounters while traveling. So those cultural encounters, those misconceptions, similarities, differences, or those culture clashes that we have where things just seem a little bit crazy to us because we're foreign.
Bizarre.
We're American. Bizarre. Yeah, bizarre. And so today we're talking about people that, for example, myself, I'm half Afghan, half American. And what it's like to travel.
African-American, correct.
Black, yes, sure.
Sorry. Just saying, be more specific.
Okay, so this topic is interesting because I'm half Afghan, but I've never been to Afghanistan. So what would it be like for me to travel back? Not knowing the language, not fully understanding all the cultural nuances. That's very, very interesting. Like, I didn't even get to travel to Afghanistan in the military, which would have been definitely fascinating.
That would have been interesting.
No, it would have been. I mean, I would have felt safe, right? Because it's not a safe country to travel to. But being American, I don't know. So
that's my point. That was my point.
Cultural family. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, because of the heat of why we were there, I don't think it would have been the experience that you probably would have wanted.
but the fact that I don't understand the language, like, that's a huge dead giveaway, right? That I'm not 100% Afghan. I don't understand all the cultural things, and I'm female, so there's definitely a difference with the way they treat women over there, which I would probably not be down with. So I probably would have felt comfortable having my weapons with me, but I might have still had to have worn the headscarf. I think some women did when they were had to go out and about. Mm-hmm. And then, so would I have been, like, say I was traveling just with my family, would I have been discriminated against? I don't know. And so that's what we're talking about. People that travel back. So we have we've used Tim a lot, but we do have an interview or a clip with Tim, because he's Korean, ethnically Korean, but, you know, grew up American, went back to Korea. So he's got some stories to share about that. And then, Paul, you met a man in Denmark who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fairly, and I don't want to say, well, you know me, because my ear is always, you know, listening to everything around me and stuff like this too as well. And it was interesting. I was out in Copenhagen, Denmark, just, you know, visiting and also meeting up with old friends and stuff like this, and decided to just hop on a plane and go there for the weekend. And I was eating brunch and overheard, you know, this young adult, he's in his 20s, I believe. And he was talking with what looked to be a friend of his or something like this. And he was talking about, you know, either he wasn't angry, but he was just like, why do I need to da-da-da-da, whatever. But I just heard the word, oh yeah, and I have to go back to Palestine, and, you know, and I live here in Denmark. Those are the only two things that I kind of picked up on. I was being nosy. And then I literally kind of like looked, and then he looked in my way, and then I just basically said, oh, you're from the Middle East, you're Palestinian. And he's kind of was like taken back. And from there, small talk. And he mentioned that, well, his family lived in, is from Palestine, but was born in Denmark, but his family lives in Israel. So, I'm all confused now.
Yeah.
Because of what, you know, you're taught, and you're just like,
yeah,
how does that work? Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, whatever. And I just literally just was like, you know what, this is kind of interesting, and introduced him, told him about I do a podcast with co-hosts, and would love to see if you'd be interested in, you know, sharing your story with me on your travel back and all this other good stuff. And being that you live in Copenhagen, Denmark, and was born in Copenhagen, Denmark, your experiences, because it has to be fascinating of an experience.
Hello, I'm Mac. My name is Mac. I'm 21 years old. I Palestinian living and born in Denmark.
I'm curious to find out, how was it growing up, or you're from Denmark, but you're Palestinian, immersing yourself into the Danish culture and also being, you know, Palestinian. What was that like? Was there, did you find it easy to immerse yourself there, or what was it like with the cultural?
I have, like, personally, I have never, like, had a problem to immerse myself, let's say, in just different situations, or, like, especially here in Denmark, I haven't, you know, had that difficult experience. But that's also because, you know, I'm born and raised here in Denmark. So for me, like, the Danish culture came naturally, and also the Palestinian culture came to me natural as well, because we were, like, practicing, you know, these, you know, let's say on the religion side, we were practicing these, you know, religious things. At the same time, I was learning more about my culture, and I have traveled, like, back to, like, Israel, but as, you know, my family, who have, like, who came, like, all the way back from where the 1948, like, where my roots is from, like, I have traveled and, you know, experienced, like, you know, how is it to be a foreigner in your own, you know, country, or where your roots are from.
But did you find it any challenges, or was it easy, or
to be honest,
with the culture of yours and the Danish culture together?
To be honest, when I think about it, I've had a harder time, you know, fitting in when I've been back to visit family down in Israel.
Okay.
Yeah, I find it actually more difficult there, because people or families ask me, like, oh, what is best, Denmark or Palestine? And I'm just like, oh, they're both good. And then, you know, it was this ongoing discussion. But here in Denmark, it wouldn't, like, I would barely meet anyone who, you know, would ask me this. Like, especially because they don't know where I'm from. And it's not like, it's not, oh, where are you from? You don't look like this, you know. It's like me talking to another person.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, getting, you know, judged as being Arab or Muslim or this and that.
Fascinating. Okay. You said that you have family that live in Israel and you're from Palestine. And that's interesting, because I know the media make it seem like, you know, this big craziness and no way you can, you know, immerse yourself in two culture and get along. Tell me how that was like. And is that something that was easy, you know, living, you know, family members living in Israel?
That's the thing, like, we automatically go back to why social media is both a good and, like, a bad, like, and bad, like, good and bad. Like, of course, you have good side and bad side. The bad side about social media in this context is, like, you know, on social media you see, oh, it's the Palestinians against the Jews. And okay, yeah, someone have that mindset, and even, you know, I've met Arab people or just Muslim people who have also had that mindset living here in Denmark, you know, only watching the media, and also, like, haven't, like, experienced, like, the Jews' point of view, like, but just me, like, even from my side, I see that even Arabic people have this, you know, facade of, oh, Jews are this bad because they did this and that.
So was it did you find it a problem culturally?
Culturally, I haven't found it a problem.
And you guys were able to immerse each other and get together.
My family, like, we've all, like, immersed with each other. It's not like, oh, I'm this, you're that. Like, my family back in Palestine, like, they have Jewish friends, best friend, you know, they get so good along and, you know, work together. And even my own uncle, like, he was married to a Jewish woman, and, like, religion, when it came to religion, it was a problem, but at the end, you know, the family, you know, they accepted, and it wasn't like, then, oh, now it's a problem, we have to, you know, live after her, or she has to live after him. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, natural. We got along. And like, just in general, I have seen my mom, who also speaks Hebrew, because, and I've seen how she got along also, you know, with other Jewish people, like if it's in a store, if it's in a restaurant, and this and that.
Everybody's diverse in within each other's culture.
Exactly, and my mom wears the hijab. So, you know, you automatically see where she's from, but that hadn't made a difference. And that's where, you know, again, social media, like, gives you the wrong perspective. Mm-hmm. Like that, oh, it's this against them. No, it's like, we have to build our own point of view. We have to experience things ourselves. Mm. And that's that's how I have
wanted to make sure that people understand that people can coexist.
Yeah, that's how
two
I've created my...
Two different cultures can coexist, especially now that no one really knows that, because what they see on TV or social media.
Exactly, but I still had a problem, and this mindset, oh, we can immerse with the Jewish people, even though I had this uncle mm-hmm. being married to this Jewish woman. Because, again, I see all this, and I'm just like, what the fuck? Why are they treating us like that, blah, blah, blah. But at the end, like, just this last year, I have myself, like, researched and done this and that, because I have heard things from when I was little and seen some things, but, you know, I have researched it myself to see, is it true, and what can I learn? And that's why, how I know personally, I don't want to make a fact or judge something before, you know, I Perfect. See it and experience it Agree. Myself.
So what I found interesting is that he didn't experience any discrimination while growing up in Denmark.
It's amazing, and it's weirdly shocking to me.
I was a little bit, I mean, I don't, perhaps I don't know that much about how the Danes react to immigrants.
Well, I do. So I can give a little bit of teeth to it, because I've been there many, many times. And in case whoever traveled to, first of all, Denmark is a lovely country. I love Copenhagen. And I've been there before there was an influx of immigrants, early 2000s and stuff like this. So it was very white. I mean, I'm just not going to sugarcoat it. And then I don't remember where it just started, but it started at some point where there was an influx of immigrants moving into the Scandinavian countries. And it was recent, as much as 10 years or less, this influx happening. When that happened, there started to be a little bit more unease, maybe, and protests maybe here and there. And then there have been issues where I've heard, when I used to travel for work, where people would tell me stories of, oh yes, they're coming in, and they just used the word they. So it was interesting and fascinating to hear this, and the way how they were speaking, kind of thing. So there was a
just for clarification, they meaning just they immigrants meaning in general, immigrants. Or
yes.
They okay, mean but immigrants, is it an umbrella of?
No, they were specifically talking about Middle Easterns, because that was the Middle Eastern and Northern
I wonder
African
population. If you had interviewed his parents, if they would have experienced something different, since he was born there. But, he obviously grew up speaking Danish and grew up with a culture, going to Danish schools.
And he didn't know anything else more, and I mean, different. And you know, you heard him very confidently in his interviews, you know, that he never experienced any of this. And I would definitely suspect, you know, that there would be a difference, because probably, and you probably maybe can relate to this, Benef, from the Middle East as well, is that, you know, the parents probably wishes that he was a little bit more Palestinian acting, maybe, versus Danish acting. Because, and I think this was more of, I got this kind of off the cuff, not on the interview part, where there are things that his family wished he would be more like, meaning marry into a Palestinian.
Maybe cultural.
Culturally, yes.
Yes.
More culturally like, you know, the Palestinian culture. Travel yeah. more to mm-hmm. Palestine.
Right.
And Israel, for that matter.
He does get some of the culture, because I believe he practices, you know, some of the religion.
Right, he did.
But, like, traveling back to Palestine or Israel, where they live.
Israel. And that blew my mind. That
felt like he had a hard time fitting in because he's Danish. I mean, to be honest. So,
well, right. Yeah.
I mean, Danish. But
that would be the same. Like, I'm American. I identify as being American, not Afghan. Yeah. So if I'm traveling back to Afghanistan, it's going to be mighty strange for me to adopt the customs and rules there without even speaking the language. Now, he at least, I believe, speaks the language, right? He speaks Arabic.
He speaks Arabic.
Yeah, he does.
But
yeah, he did say
I think, and I think what makes it, well, at least mind-blowing for me is because, like I said earlier, his family lives in Israel.
Well, so what I find, the advantage that I find that he has is that he speaks Arabic. So he's got that at least. Without the language, it's really, really, really hard to have a connection. And I'm taking Farsi right now for the third time in my life, trying to learn. But there's so many people that are trying to connect with their roots and by the language. So they maybe speak Farsi with their parents, but it's like bad Farsi, you know, like improper grammar and stuff, or they don't know how to read and write because it's kind of difficult to find in America places to learn how to read and write. And so they, you know, but that's like, he has that already. Your mom is from Belize, but they speak English there. So that definitely made it easier to have a connection.
Yeah, definitely was easier. I mean, it's very similar to, you know, the Jamaican patois, which I know, Paul, you can identify with, but which, you know, any Creole, and it's called Creole, which is basically an origin. Every place has a Creole.
Broken English kind of thing.
Which is, it's a broken English, but Creole basically is, and everyone has a Creole really from their origin, which is just an origin of that language. So, and to see it written, it looks like a completely different language, honestly, but it's funny actually when we see it.
It's definitely over. At least possible.
It's definitely a different
writing, and it looks
but
wrong.
Yes, it's a little different. It's funny too when we actually speak, it actually sounds dirty because we always make a joke about that too, but no, it definitely was easier for us in that regard. But it is something about that connection that you can have, you know, that you only have with, you know, with your family. And there is a connection that you have with your family or with your culture when you're able to do that. And not having that and wanting to discover that, you know. And I definitely know that my family, I think they found it very important that I knew where I came from. And I know I wanted to discover that. I wanted to know what that was. Yeah. And I wanted to have a deeper meaning of what that meant. Yeah. So well, it was so very important to me to travel.
Yeah. What was that like for you traveling back to the motherland?
Well, for me, it was. Well, you know, just from my origin story, as you can see, it really kind of formed, you know, it formed me really from early on. It kind of gave me my basis, really kind of home, what home was, you know, kind of made me and formulated me to who I, you know, I am. It kind of gave me those basic principles, right? Can understand, and that's what I felt like he was trying to, you know, really what he was trying to portray for him when he went back home. So when that's why when he went back, he didn't feel accepted because there was that feeling of home. It didn't feel like home.
It didn't feel like home.
And I can relate to his side in saying that to it, because there is, and I probably get you know, some people agreeing with me from my Jamaican roots, that, you know, obviously traveling, number one, it's very, like, Jamaicans are very, very powerful, like strong-minded.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Caribbean in general.
You know, the flag, and Jamaica is that little country that produces lots of great athletes and mm-hmm. food and all this other stuff. But I know when I travel there, because there sometimes there is, you feel like, or I felt like I needed to get accepted by my family that's still living there. Because a lot of times, obviously I was born in America. All my family is Jamaican. I was born in America. So mm-hmm. I am Jamaican-ish, you know, mm-hmm. Jamaican, like they would say. But, and I talk Patois and I can do all that other good stuff, but I'm just not all the way because of the fact that, you know, I wasn't really born there. So yeah. I had to do overtime and overdrive to like, be like, look, damn it. My damn parents are from here and everybody else is from here. So, yeah. you know, I'm not a Yankee, you know, I am, you know, everything in one. So I had to work over time.
Yeah.
In being able for them to, like, I felt like I needed to get acceptance.
Yeah. Like you have to work harder to get accepted, right. to feel, to
no, have you that. And you absolutely do.
Belonging.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's, that was interesting to me that I was relating to that. And, you know, I loved it. Trust me, you know, there's nothing like, you know, a whole bunch of your family members and friends and everything like that. And, you know, food is the celebration of life for us and, you know, chit chatting and the experiences. So I just felt, and to this day, I still feel like I need to feel like, hey, look, I am fucking Jamaican.
Yeah. Well, you know. I mean, and I think that's what you experience is the same thing that Tim talks about, that yes. sense of belonging yeah. and like trying to find it, because he talks about growing up in white Indiana, but then, you know, trying to go back to Korea or even to the West Coast where there's a bunch of, you know, Asian population there.
Yeah, I grew up in Indiana. And so Indiana is very white. And I mean, I'm an adoptee. So my family is either German and Irish. So that's the only world that I knew of. And it was very isolating growing up like that.
Okay.
Being the only Asian kid within 100 miles.
Yeah.
You know, and I...
So there's no Asian community. Because like some parts of the United States, obviously, are large Asian.
There's some. Not where I lived. No.
So did you ever travel to any other parts of the United States where there were Asian communities?
When I joined the Navy, when I enlisted the Navy when I was 17,
yeah.
the first place I went was San Diego for boot camp.
Okay.
And my God, California in general, especially Southern California, it is Asian
heavy. But was that like a different experience? You're like, oh, I'm not alone. There's other Asian Americans here.
I'm glad you asked that, because it is probably not what you would expect. It is the one time in my life when I thought to myself, I should feel like I belong. It should be the one time in my life finally when I don't feel weird or out of place. And I'll be honest, because I spent my whole life in such a world, I don't think I've never been more uncomfortable.
Oh.
When I was surrounded by all these Asian people, I felt like I didn't belong with them either, because I didn't speak fluently mm-hmm. Korean or Chinese or Jap or any other Asian language. And then to be honest, Asian Americans are, they can actually be sometimes the most racist people that I've ever had to deal with.
Really?
Because long be it blunt, they call us, people like me, Korean adoptees in particular, or anyone else who grew up with an adopted white family, they call us bananas.
Bananas.
Yeah,
okay.
White on the inside, yellow on the outside.
Okay.
Or a Twinkie, that's the other one. Yeah.
I've not heard the Twinkie one. Okay, but that was in the United States.
That was here, yeah, that was in California.
Right. Now, are these like people that just like immigrants, or are they people that were born in?
They're almost all first generation.
Okay.
So their parents were direct immigrants from uh-huh. somewhere, and they're the first generation. So they speak fluent English, they native English.
But also their own.
But they also spoke, they grew up with, they were raised in a Korean household.
So that's what made it different then, okay. And then when you were stationed in Korea, you had like a similar
That was even more weird because then the Koreans, they were just befuddled as to what I was, because I would hear me speak this terrible Korean and they're like, are you Chinese? And I'm like, no. Are you Japanese? No. They're like, where are you from? And I'm like, Miguel-san, I'm American. And they're like, but Korean, right? Like, nah, Hangul-san, yes, I'm Korean. But they're like, why do you talk like that? And I stopped doing it eventually, but like it felt like every time I got in a taxi, I had to explain that.
Oh my God, my like life, whole story. Life story.
I'm like, look.
You need a recording.
Which means I'm an adoptee. Okay. I'm Korean, but I'm an adoptee, so I'm sorry, my Korean is not so good.
But there's a large community of Korean adoptees, yeah?
Now there is.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, okay.
Now, because that, you know, it started with the Korean War, which ended in 1953. So the first wave, I mean, those guys now are, you know, in their 60s.
my thoughts just keep going back, and I feel like I'm tripping over my words, because the theme that just keeps coming back to me is, you know, when I was trying to explain myself between our two interviews, is just, you know, Mag and Tim, is every time I know that I go back to Belize, and every time that I think back, you know, it's trying to recreate that feeling, because to me, Belize is home, you know, it's the feeling of home. That's what I'm getting. I can't bring it to words because it's a feeling. Mm-hmm. Home, Belize to me is home.
Yeah. And as like I said, I mean, belonging is part of the feeling and stuff. You know, it's, I can relate 100% to that, as well as to what Mag had to say too as well, you know, but at the same time, it's a sense, like I said earlier, it's a sense of me wanting to get their respect because as a Jamaican, not born in Jamaica, but your whole family's from there, I get the, I don't want to say picked on, but the, you're not Jamaican enough, you know?
For
you
sure.
Need to do something.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
need
but
to.
That's a feel, but that's
Jamaican-ness.
A feeling too. You need to feel respect. You need to feel respected
yeah.
as well, right?
But I shouldn't do that because I'm, you know what I mean? I don't know how to even put it into words, but it's like, yes, it is a feeling, but it's like you have to get initiated to get someone who's Jamaican to say, yep, you're fully Jamaican. Even though I did not have, I couldn't choose
anointed.
Where I was going to be. Yeah.
Yeah,
you had different experiences than them, yeah. obviously, growing
yeah,
up
and,
in America.
And believe yeah. me, I talk Patois very well. And I trust me, you know, you don't want me to lash some words out right now because...
But you're saying it's not enough for them. Is that what you're saying? It's not enough.
It is at times. And then when we start to, you know, mannerisms or the way I'm talking, because all of a sudden I turn it on and turn it off. And then they're like, what is going on here? What is wrong with your voice? What is this?
Chameleon. Look at this yeah. chameleon over here.
Yeah. Chameleon, right. Well, I mean, it's and that's the same thing, like, you know, Tim's Korean was not good enough for the Koreans.
Yeah.
So they're like,
yeah.
well,
yeah.
are you Chinese? Are you
yeah.
Japanese?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
but then he also grew up white, so he wasn't good enough for the West Coast Asians,
yeah.
you know, the immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
It was just
yeah.
like,
yeah.
what the
I
fuck,
mean,
you know, like.
That's the part that is interesting to me. Like, obviously, I love my family and love, you know, the culture of where, you know, my family's from and everything, because that's what made me and stuff like that. But don't get it twisted. My Jamaican can come out whenever it wants to come out. So
when it wants, when it wants.
You don't bother with me. That's just an example. So
yeah,
and that's,
check
and
yourself.
That's true that.
I'm curious. Can I just ask you then, Benef, and you could choose to answer it or not, or it might be another podcast. what was the reason why your parents or your mom did not teach you Farsi when you were younger, where it'd be easier to learn?
Yeah. So she did speak to me in Farsi all the time. I was speaking both English and Farsi together. So like a mix of the two languages, because, you know, at that point, maybe I was three or younger, couldn't separate the two languages as kids don't. Yes. And so this would have been 1978 in Madison, Wisconsin. Okay. So just get that image in your head. Mm-hmm. All right. It's a university town. So generally more diverse, but I'm going to preschool and it's probably mostly white. I don't remember, but I've been told that nobody could fucking understand what I was saying. The only person that knew what I was saying was my mom, because she spoke both.
Mm.
So it wasn't, because my dad is American, right? He's African American. He doesn't speak Farsi. So they were speaking English to each other, my mom and my dad. So, you know, I didn't have that distinction to, oh, I speak Farsi with my parents. I speak English outside of the home.
Yeah.
It was just both. And because I was struggling. I mean, apparently no one understood what I was saying. So that's like a lot of stress for a child when I'm asking for like water, I don't know. Or I got to go to the bathroom and no one knows what I'm saying. So they went to a child linguist. And now I don't know if this guy was white. If my mom and my dad are watching, you need to comment. Was it a white child linguist? Because his advice was to stop speaking Farsi. Now, it's a 1978, so that advice apparently
sounds a little political.
And they, against their better judgment, you know, they just wanted me to probably not be suffering anymore. They stopped, and I never picked it up again.
Yeah.
Well, this has certainly been a very interesting discussion, and I want to thank Magd and Tim for sharing their stories.
Yeah.
So thank you also to the listeners and the people watching. If you liked our show, please follow us, comment, subscribe, and we hope to see you next time.
Ciao.
Ciao.